Our reading this morning is taken from 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, beginning at verse 10. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power, and the glory, and the majesty, and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all of our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Lord, the God of our father Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, statutes, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided." This is the precious word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Heavenly Father, as we spend some time looking at your word this morning, please would you speak to us, encourage us, minister to us, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, yesterday morning, we were a few of us were here praying about church and that sort of thing. And one of the things that came up a number of times was storms. We've had quite a lot recently, haven't we? There was storm, I can never remember how you pronounce it, Ciara, yesterday, last week. We've got Storm Dennis this week, Storm Edward the following week, I don't know. Don't quote me on this. But the theme of storms came up, because it feels like, sort of as a church family, we're in a few storms. And in the storms, they just sort of weigh us down, don't they? Don't know about you, but you know, we've got the church finances, the fact that last week we announced that we're having to make 2 staff posts redundant. That just makes us feel heavy. There's the sudden sad death of Glenn. That was really sad. We've got a number of our church family who are ill and facing, you know, serious illness, and that weighs us down. There's all this stuff, and then there's also the physical storms in the world. There's the environmental stuff we read on the TV, and then there's the individual storms in our life. And I don't know, if I talk to you about a storm, I wonder what you would say for you is the storm at the moment. Now, I was going to spend some time looking at 1 Chronicles 29. And this week we're starting a series about how God sort of is all in with us. And I was wanting to encourage us to be all in with God. And that 1 Chronicles 29 is where David, King David, is praising God for how God's people have just willingly given of themselves. But he starts off with who God is, how great God is, our Creator, the one who holds everything in his hands. And then David moves on to how he's just praising God for how his people are responding freely with their hearts. Oh, that's exciting. I was not expecting a soundtrack. Yeah. This is great. So now we're going to have soundtracks whilst we're preaching. And we've just got to make sure the music fits with the mood of the sermon at that point. You end up with this really somber music in the middle of this sort of upbeat point. Where were we going with that? So 1 Chronicles 29 was where we were going to be. And of course that fits really well with Owen's baptism, because he's willingly offering his life to God in response to who God is. But this week I've really struggled. It's been quite a dark week in some ways. I found that as I was wrestling with 1 Chronicles 29, actually, I wasn't feeling it. And I guess many of us are feeling that. We're just feeling weighed down, lacking joy, feeling like we're in a bit of a storm. Which is why I want us actually to flick forward to Luke 8, and we're going to have the words of this on the screen. And we're actually going to, in a sense, see 1 Chronicles 29 through the lens of Luke 8. So you're going to get two for the price of one this morning, but not hopefully twice the length for the price of one. Because here, Luke 8, 22-25, Jesus' disciples were in a storm. And I think this is for us as a church, and if you individually are feeling like you're in a bit of a storm, this is for you. Luke 8, 22. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Who is this? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be. So I just want to spend a little bit of time looking at this, because actually I think it helps us when we're in the middle of the storm. And you know, we've got the wind howling around us. Maybe we'll have some atmospheric music coming on at some point again during the sermon. But I want to just cover four things from this. And the first question is really this: why are the disciples in this storm? Why are they in the storm? And I think it's something we sometimes miss. Certainly I have missed before, which is why I wanted us to look at the Luke version, or Luke's account of Jesus and his disciples in the storm. Because if you look in verse 22, one day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. Why are they in the storm? It's because they've done what Jesus told them to do. They got into the boat, and whether they put the sail up or they were rowing, they are now in the middle of the lake, the Sea of Galilee, because Jesus told them to be there. And it's good for us just to remember that sometimes trusting Jesus puts you in the storm. Sometimes trusting Jesus puts us in situations where we feel swamped, like these disciples were. Sometimes trusting Jesus will put us in situations of genuine great danger. I mean, do we see that? It says that they were in great danger. This wasn't just because some of the disciples weren't fishermen and they were like, "Whoa, the water's a bit deep here." You know, when you go swimming and when you're first learning to swim and you go into the deep bit and suddenly you can't touch the bottom and you start to panic. It wasn't that they were just feeling a little bit out of their depth. Actually, they are in genuine great danger. And sometimes trusting Jesus puts us in situations of genuine great danger, either physically, emotionally, or spiritually even. And it's just good for Owen, as he's being baptized, to remember that as he stands up and declares his faith, yes, there will be some wonderful times for him, trusting the Lord. But actually, sometimes trusting Jesus puts you in the storm. And it's good to remember that just because you feel swamped And just because you're in great danger doesn't mean you're in the wrong place. And I think we need to remember that as a church and as individually as well. Just because we're in a storm, or because perhaps individually we're in a storm, it doesn't mean that we as a church or we individually are doing the wrong thing. Just because we feel swamped and in great danger, it doesn't mean that Jesus has left you either. Do you see that? Where's Jesus in this story? He's with them in the boat, in the middle of the storm. So just because we feel swamped, we feel in great danger, doesn't mean Jesus has left the building. The disciples are where they are because they have taken Jesus at his word. So that's the first thing I want us to notice. Second, do you notice that Jesus is asleep? Yeah? Now there's a couple of reasons for this. One is that he could just be knackered and he's a human being. And you know, you have those days where you get to the end of the day and whatever happens, you know you're going to fall asleep. But also, Jesus is not scared. I don't know about you, but it's really hard to sleep when you're afraid or anxious, isn't it? You know, something's come up in life and we're worried about it. You try getting to sleep when you're worried. You just can't do it, can you? Because your mind's going round and round. If you're scared, you can't sleep. You know that with if you've got kids, that if they're worried by the wind or the rain on the windows, you know, they come and knock on the door or just come and climb into bed with you because they're scared. You can't sleep when you're anxious and afraid. Now the storm is raging on the lake and Jesus is asleep in the boat. And he's asleep in the boat because he's not afraid. Because he's not anxious. He's not panicking. He knows that it's okay. It's not just because he's human and he's exhausted. Actually, there's no indication that he's exhausted, actually. I think the reason why he's asleep is because he's not panicking. He knows it's okay. He's the Son of God. What's a few wind and waves to him? And actually, what we need to do sometimes is just see the encouragements in the storms, don't we? So here's some encouragements that I've seen, just sort of in various things that are going on. First of all, in terms of our church finance, we're heading in the right direction. Hooray! Praise God for that. We had a brilliant band concert last night. Craig and a few of the guys are here. Well done for making it. I know that the bacon will have been very... did you have bacon this morning? You did. Brilliant, sir. If you could smell bacon, it was coming from Craig's house. But the band concert last night was a great occasion. We sang some wonderful hymns as part of it, and it was a great selection of music, and we've probably raised a good bit of money for the church. That's a huge encouragement. Glenn, obviously desperately sad. We thought he had nothing in terms of assets. And, you know, as a congregation, pretty much we've pledged to cover the whole cost of the funeral. That is extraordinary love. We've subsequently discovered that Glenn in his own little way had enough assets to more than cover the funeral. So your pledges aren't needed for that. But rejoice. You know, we did what we felt was the right thing and God has encouraged us in that. And Owen's baptism today. What a privilege to see a young man standing up and saying, I'm following Jesus. That's a huge encouragement. We've had various people contact me just freely offering to help out with stuff. Yes, sadly we're not going to be able to afford to pay as many staff as we have before, but other folk have said, I'd like to help out. That's wonderful. And actually that's what David is praising God for in 1 Chronicles 29. And people just freely saying, I know how great God is and I just want to offer my services. So actually, in the storms, there are encouragements. You know, Jesus is not panicking. He's not on the throne going, oh my word, I wasn't expecting that. Now, of course, Jesus isn't literally asleep at the moment now, but he's not panicking about the storm that you're in individually, or the storm that the church might be in, or the storm that our denomination might be in, or the storm that the world is in. He's not panicking. So the disciples are where they are because Jesus told them to be there. Jesus isn't panicking. And then the third note, hang on a minute. That was the picture I wanted for that one. That's cute, isn't it? There is a baby who is not afraid. They know they're safe. And they look very cute as well, which helps. I'm afraid it's not one of my kids. My kids have... Anyway, yes. We're not going there. But, when the baby's not tired, when the baby's not anxious or afraid, doesn't need anything, they just curl up and asleep. And don't they look cute when they're asleep? Well, Jesus is not afraid, which is why he's asleep. But then the disciples come to Jesus, and this is the third thing I want us to notice. They come to Jesus and they wake him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." Now, notice what they do. There is no special words. They don't have a little conversation with each other. Right, how are we going to approach Jesus on this one? What are the words we need to use? Jesus, you're our best rabbi. We think we're in a bit of a mess right now. Please, would you just help us? We're very good as Christians, aren't we, adding just into our prayers? There's no sort of preparation on what they're going to say. There's no hiding who they are. There's no trying to pretend they're something that they're not. They're just, "Master, we're going to drown!" Because it feels like they are. And to them, it may have seemed like God is sleeping. And of course, Jesus in his humanity does sleep. But Jesus in his divinity never sleeps. Psalm 121 verse 4, if I just flick to it, says, "Indeed, he who watches over Israel," that is God's people, "indeed, he who watches over God's people will neither slumber nor sleep." As human beings, we do need to sleep, but God never sleeps. God never sleeps. And yes, it felt like they're going to drown, but the disciples are just honest with how they feel. And sometimes that's what we need to do with Jesus, isn't it? Just say, "I feel like I'm going under. I feel like I'm drowning. I feel like I can't cope. I feel like this is bigger than... I just don't get what's going on." And we just bring it to him and we use the words that we can come up with. And maybe actually, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 14 the other week, we don't know what the words are and we just let it pour out in words that we don't understand, or we just cry. We just bring it to Jesus. Because that's what we can do. Because he is our God who came to be with us. And maybe that's what some of us just need to say to our Lord sometimes. "I'm drowning. I'm feeling swamped. I can't cope. I can't go on like this." And that's okay. In fact, he sees our heart. He already knows. I always think he's a bit like a dad with their kids. And you know when your kids are upset and you can tell that they're struggling, but you just love to hear them saying it. And just being, pouring out their heart to you. That's what Jesus wants from us. Or invites us to. So they're there because of Jesus. But he's not afraid. They're just completely honest with him. "We're going to drown." And then, what happens? Verse 24, "He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters." Which is just a bit weird, isn't it? I mean, we're quite used to this as a story, aren't we, I think? But a man standing up in a boat telling off the weather. That's a bit weird. I don't know whether anybody tried it yesterday. You just thought, "I've had enough of Storm Dennis." So you went outside and you just said, "Oi, Den, stop it." Nobody thought of doing that? Why not? Yeah, your neighbours would have probably phoned the police. And they'd have just said, just put him away. Send him back in his house. In the other Gospels, we're told that Jesus literally says, "Quiet, be still." And it's calm. And you see that the disciples are actually even more scared. And in fact, there's amazement here, Luke says, because Jesus just spoke and it goes calm. And they think, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water and they obey him. Now, I know some of you have got dogs, and I think one of the keys to owning a dog or having a dog, and you can ask Rich about this because I'm not speaking from experience, but Rich can, is that you train them so that when you speak, your dog does exactly what you ask. Which apparently is the same with children. You train them so that when you speak... Well, maybe not. Maybe that's one of my problems. But the idea, isn't it, especially with your canine training, that you speak and they learn that when you say sit, they sit because they're going to get a little sweetie or whatever it is when they do it, and when they wag their tail, all that sort of stuff. But here is Jesus, and he doesn't need to train the wind and the waves. In fact, we've got no record of him practicing. When he was little, was he sitting there with his bathtub going, quiet, be still. No, it didn't quite work there. Training the wind and the waves to obey him. There's no record of that. He didn't do any of that. All we have here is that in this moment, he stands up and just says, stop. He speaks and creation listens. He shouts, he commands, and the clouds obey. What is the point? Here is our Creator speaking. The one who said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, I don't want to get into a debate as to the Big Bang and all that sort of thing. I remember one Christian preacher saying, well, I imagine that when God said, let there be light, and there was light, there was probably a fairly major explosion. And of course, there was no sound at that point, so scientists have got it wrong with the Big Bang, so it was the Big Bang that made no noise. But anyway, we won't go into that. The point is that Jesus speaks, creation obeys. Back in the creation, God spoke, it came to be. Here is our Creator, become one of us. And he brings order out of chaos. He brings light into darkness. He brings calm into the storm. Now, I can't promise you that if you're in a storm, or we as a church are in a storm, or this world is in a storm, that Jesus is going to this moment speak and make everything okay, though we do know that one day he is going to come back and make everything okay. But what we do know is that we can be with Jesus in the boat at the moment, and that he can speak to us and bring calm to us in the middle of the storm raging around us. So that we can be, as it were, be with Jesus in the back of the boat asleep, even as the storm is going on. And maybe today, some of us actually just need to invite Jesus into the boat, or perhaps like Owen, we need to get into the boat with Jesus. Perhaps some of us today, we just need to be honest with Jesus. We're like those disciples and we feel like we're drowning, and we just need to bring that to him and say, this is how I'm feeling. And maybe you need to go and find a room with some insulation on the sound on around in the walls and just shout at him. This is how it is. Maybe some of us just need to be reminded that Jesus is not afraid. He's not thinking it's all out of control. And maybe some of us just need to realise that the reason why perhaps we're in a storm isn't because we've done something wrong. Actually, it maybe is because we're doing something right. We're following what Jesus says. And that brings us back to the 1 Chronicles 29, because there David is praising God for who God is, the Creator, that everything belongs to him. And when we see Jesus calming that storm, we see our Creator, His power, His majesty. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the victory. The kingdom belongs to you. And in that 1 Chronicles reading, what God wants from us is just that we willingly offer our hearts and lives, our all, and say, Jesus, I'm in the boat with you. And wherever the boat may go, and whether it means that I'm ending up shouting to you saying, I need your help, whether it's trusting him and asleep with him, as it were, I'm gladly in the boat with you. And that's what we're celebrating today with Owen's baptism. He's saying, I want life with Jesus. I want life with the Creator. Whether that's going to make it harder or easier, I'm going to go with him. And actually, we know, if we're honest, don't we, that is the wise, the right decision to be making.